This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Welcome to Soul Story Club. I am Liz, an actress, voiceover and farmer.
Hi, I'm Helen, an actress, a writer and a self-discovery coach.
So this podcast has come about because we love having guests on and hearing their story about where they started in life and where they are now. And it's about finding out all their little moments that have happened in their life that have got them to find peace or happiness, or for them to just find themselves at where they want to be in life finally.
We ask a guest to bring a cuppa with them, and we ask them about what cuppa they have and why, and also what mug they have and why. We like the idea of having a cuppa. It's got that feeling of going around to a friend's, putting the kettle on and having a chat and sharing something about yourself over a cuppa.
So this week's guest is a little different this time. We've got two, mother and son, Richie Swan and his mum, Jan Swan. And it was an incredibly hilarious episode, but also a very soulful one.
Jan lost her daughter to leukemia, which was Richie's sister. And through that, Jan has gone on her own inspirational transformation of losing 10 stone. And it's just the most wonderful episode. And also Richie, through the pandemic, has set up his own online PT training business, which has just flourished. Through the darkest of days, they've come through with so much positivity and joy, and just how they speak is infectious. It gives you this inspiration and makes you smile so much. We've absolutely loved this episode, and I hope you enjoy it too.
Richie, I've been listening to your podcast. You just want to hear them all. And then when I heard yours and Jan's, you're just brilliant together. And we thought, we've got to get you on.
Hey, try getting her off.
You should be there for Sunday dinner. Jeez.
Should have just brought the mics then, should we? All the good stuff, all the juicy stuff. Yeah.
Hey, do you know what? Janet Swan roast dinner, I've got to say, is the best roast dinner in Liverpool.
Are they
but
legendary?
I know every Scouser says this about the mum, but my mum's roast dinner is the best roast dinner. And it's been passed down generations in the Thompson family.
Because I feel like I'm eating my mum's roast dinner. So even though I've made it, do you know what I mean? It just feels like I'm eating my mum's roast dinner.
So, oh, yeah. So that's just lovely. It's a way to keep somebody alive as well, isn't it?
Passing
down and remembering your mum, and then you'll remember your mum.
Yeah.
If you could cook, but I can't cook.
If you can cook, yeah, it might just end there.
You're on prep meals.
End of the legacy.
So the first thing we ask every guest is to bring a cuppa. It just gives us a little bit of an inkling of what you like. So what have you got, Richie?
Right, okay, so this actually is kind of true to what I'm like, because I just like the same thing, okay? So, like, when we go to my mum's for Sunday dinner and I get a cup of tea, I can't bear the cup she has. They're dead thin. I just like my good old mug. I like my sugar in it, so I know exactly how much sugar, how to make it. And it's, do you know what I mean? Yeah. If anyone gives me a different cup than this, I can't cope. So it's just a plain turquoise, everyday cup that is mine.
He needs to get a life.
Hey, listen, at least you're here, Jan, because we can't be that
harsh. You can't, trust me.
So what have you got in it though, Richie? Tea?
Coffee. One scoop of coffee, 1.5 spoon of sugar, and quite milky.
Oh, you're so particular. 1.5. You've nailed that, haven't you? You've tried it on 1, wasn't enough. You've tried it at 2, too much.
When I was a kid, my nan used to give us 3 sugar. Honest to God, right, my mum would... We're back to my nan again. My mum will tell you, we grew up sugar on toast. Like, literally,
oh my God.
Sugar on toast, sugar in your teeth. I'm surprised. In fact, I haven't got my own teeth from taking. I was going to say, I'm surprised I've got teeth in my mouth. They're not even mine.
What the hell is sugar on toast?
How are you messing? Helen, where are you
from? Oh my God.
Helen's regal.
Right, no, wait. I'm from Manchester. I've had crisp butties.
Oh, yeah.
Crisp
butties
were my go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah, never. I've never heard of sugar on toast.
So, it's like a poor man's donut. That is basically the... So, you just put your bread in the toaster, butter it, sprinkle sugar on it, knock it off, and there you've got like a poor man's donut. And that's what my nan used to give us as a snack. It's gorgeous.
Oh, my God. Try that when we finish. I'm
going to
see what it's like.
You know what? I'm meant to be a personal trainer. It's like diabetes waiting to happen.
Oh, my God. What have you got, Jan?
I've already been told off about what I was bringing yesterday at Sunday dinner. Right.
She weren't told off. I just went, oh, my God.
Mine is my mug that my lovely sister bought me because she knows... Aww. My favourite song is Que Sera Sera. And the reason I picked this was because a few reasons. One, it's my funeral song.
Oh, God.
That is exactly what I said. Oh, my God.
It has come so bright until then, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
But the real reason is, it's one of the earliest memories I can have sort of about me and my mum. There were six of us, and it was always like a madhouse. Probably like mine is now. It was always people coming and going, and you were sort of never alone or no quiet times. And I can remember being there. My mum was sitting in one chair, and I was sitting in the other watching telly. And Doris Day come on singing Que Sera Sera, and you know whatever will be, but you know when I grow up will I, and all that kind. It's a feeling I remember more rather than anything else.
It's like a nostalgic feeling for you.
Yeah, really nostalgic feeling. And how gorgeous was Doris Day?
Oh, yeah.
Not only is it my funeral song, it's also what I try and live life
I
by.
I love that. Que Sera Sera.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Whatever
what will
be.
Be, will be.
Whatever will be.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's in it, Jan? What's in the cup?
It's a cup of ordinary black coffee, no milk, no sugar, nothing, all on its little Oneo. Because even though I still have my cravings, I've really tried to change my life massively. And one of them was like ditching the sugar. But there's nothing like sugar on toast when you're feeling that way out and you just need comfort.
My mum's lost 10 stone in 10 years.
Well, this is what we want to talk about.
We might as well get straight onto it.
You've both had massive changes in life, haven't you?
So it's 10 stone.
Well, it was 10. It's about 9.5 now.
She's so been on the sugar toast.
She's been back on the sugar toast.
I go up and down, up and down. Well, I don't go up and right down. I go, you know, as you do.
Yeah, which you're allowed to do as well.
It was my birthday on Friday, so... You know,
oh,
I've had
birthday.
Quite a few little, yeah, me 69, I'll be 70 next
oh,
year.
Wow, you don't look
yeah,
it.
70 next year, so I'm going to milk it. I've made sure I am going to slay being 70. I've got friends who are sort of worried about it. I am absolutely seeing it as a great thing.
So, do you know what she's decided to do? She's decided to take all the inheritance out the house and she's gone, fuck it, I'm going to splash it all. And it started by going to Turkey to get her teeth done.
I'm going to Turkey to get my teeth done.
Well, why not, Jan? Enjoy yourself. It's your money. You blow it.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good for you.
See what I mean? You are a double act. You are.
A double act already. We've not even got onto the deep stuff yet, have we? It's just a cup of an hour in. We've just got through the cup.
Yeah.
No, but that's what she said. They found out the government do this thing now where you can take money out your house and when you pass away, they just take it out once the house is sold on.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So... what she's doing is she's taking the money out the house and going, I'm going to have the best year of my life and just have a ball. And I think, good on you.
And why
good
isn't
on
it?
You, Jan. Exactly. Yeah. Do
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
It's there to spend, isn't it? To enjoy your life.
Oh,
and it's actually
yeah.
memories. Yeah. Forever, isn't it?
And that's the thing. You think at 70, most people go, oh, you like, they sit there and do nothing or feel like they can't make. Yeah, but it's not about that, is it? It's about carrying on your experiences.
No. I feel like I need you to keep us updated with this because we're going to live our lives through this.
Yeah. Oh, Christ,
Jan's glow up and slay in the 70s.
Slay in the 70s.
Hey, Jan Swan with turkey teeth.
And I've written a poem and I've decided I'm going to do all little different things. And I've joined TikTok. I haven't put nothing on it, but I'm going to have a go.
Oh, Jan, you're such an inspiration. This is brilliant already.
Do you know what, Jan? On that note, let's start with you then, because I know you've both had an incredible journey over the past few years. Richie, you with your business, and Jan, you with losing so much weight. But let's start with you, seeing as you're already halfway there. You know, to lose 10 stone in 10 years is massive, and it takes a huge amount of a change in a mindset. And what was the start in that? What was where you thought, right, something's got to change?
Right, okay. All my life, I was sort of up and down, up and down. But I suppose the big turning point was when Anita died, my daughter. And when she was in remission, she'd done like a trek to Borneo and stuff. So I'm sitting there this day with a friend, and I'd lost about 4 stone, I think. And she went, oh, look at this, Jan. Marie Curie are looking for people to do a trek in Brazil. Why don't you join up? And I thought, I just done there and then, I just put it. I thought, don't think, because if you think, you won't do. So I just signed up and on my own, and I've never done anything on my own. If you know our family, you were just not people who do things alone. Anyway, I went to this first meeting, and people think I'm really confident. And I sort of suppose I make myself be confident, but I was absolutely bricking it because I was in my 60s, I was a couch potato, just don't do anything like that. But I thought, oh, if our niece could do it when she was in remission from leukemia, just go. Anyway, I went and I got Gavin to somebody, and all the people, no, I didn't know anyone there. And it was for Marie Curie, Liverpool. And I was to say, like, say 31 people on the trek, 27 were scousers. Well,
oh, wow.
Can I just say it was one of the best times of my life. It was absolutely brilliant. I learned to be vulnerable. I learned to ask for help. I learned all the things that I find really, really difficult. And then I come back and I think I put the 4+ stone back on again. And then I just thought, I've got a friend who's really bad on her legs, and she needs to use a scooter and stuff. And I thought, oh, I don't want that to be me. Because I have a problem with I'm a giver, caregiver sort of person, rather than being able to take it. And I just thought, I can't. I'm so again, I've done the same old, joined Slim World again, doing really well. Got a consultant that really got me, and I got her, which is massive. So I lost the majority of it like that, but then I found that was really hard to maintain it. And then when lockdown come and Richard started doing the Sort Your Fit Out online, because we used to have many an argument, didn't we, over calories and this, that and the other. Used to be murder. But what I realised was that
I was right.
What I realised was actually he was right.
Say that again.
It was like while I was really big, I could have more calories because I'd be burning them off carrying myself around. And then I started doing both really then, and I did get a shock once I started putting in calorie intakes and everything. So that did actually make that difference to get down to that last bit. And I'm still not, you know what I mean? I'm more excited because I could get into a size 14 trousers, but I'm definitely convinced that the big size 14, but I feel really good where I am.
That's incredible. And I mean, from that story, it's like there's not only such a dark time for you to lose your daughter, and that's the unimaginable, isn't it? And most people just understandably want to stay in bed. But do you find that that gave you a purpose to get up in the morning and something to focus on? And
honestly, it's weird, but actually her death gave me life. How mad's that? It does sound mad. I remember sitting there, and she died probably say 2 or 3 weeks earlier. And I remember sitting on the couch, and I hadn't gone back to work yet. And I can remember sitting on the couch and I could feel myself going into, and I just went, it ain't happening, right? And I used to go into work and I'd be in work about 10 minutes and someone would walk in and go, oh, are you, Jen? With that look people have. And then next thing, my coat's on and I'm going home. But I was made the break. But I look back at my mum, and my mum, when I think now, we were only kids, my mum lost my sister when she was only 26 with a brain tumour. And then my brother, when he was only 37, and they found him in, you know, in Australia. We don't know whether it was suicide or it was, you know, whatever. But the bottom, but my mother, I can only remember having my mum. I can't remember her crying. They see me crying loads, so don't take that after. But I can never remember seeing her crying and always getting on with stuff. But when you look back now, I think she covered a lot of it with like a bit of a short temper when she was chasing you with the brush or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's got to go somewhere, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But what a great energy that you used it for your own kind of focus and to get fit and to like you were saying, to actually like look after yourself, because it is hard to ask for help. Or
yes.
If you're
yes.
a giver, for you to actually put your priority in your own health and your own fitness.
Yeah. And then when she was 40, I decided I was going to do, it would be the 40th birthday, I was going to do 40 things that either enjoyed or challenged me or whatever. So I've done stuff like, I went on that Go Ape thing, so I was terrified of heights. I went on, you know that thing where you go down the zip wire 100 miles over Snowdon.
What else
did I do? Tough Mums, not Tough Mudder. Tough Mums for GMTV.
That.
I got picked to do that. I've written poem. I've slept under the stars. Me and my sister and me little mate and my cousin all went to Formby Beach and slept out overnight under the stars. We were freezing. We're freezing, but we've done it. And we've danced in the rain and sang
a
favourite song, Come On Eileen, and Dancing Queen, and just done like shoot, roll down a big hill, all the stuff that you wouldn't, like I would never have done when it was big at all.
Yeah.
Had I not lost it, I wouldn't have done it, would I? Yeah. All those things, I wouldn't have done it.
Do you feel like it's a way to keep her alive as well, rather than not talking about her, it's a way to keep her spirit alive as well?
I don't think I went into it for that. Probably I went into it dead selfish. I think it's making me feel alive. But however, really, yeah, it's about, I'm not going to waste my life living with regrets. And then also, I could never imagine living miserably, couldn't.
Richie, how did you feel seeing your mum going through all this and with that mindset? Because obviously this is still as heartbreaking, and I presume you might have dealt with it in a different way, but to see your mum like that, did that help you, or how did you deal with it?
Like, obviously for the whole family, it's a really difficult thing to process and get your head around. But the best thing was to come from it, like my mum said, it made us all change the way we live. And there was a lot that had gone on in our family for years before. Like, it wasn't just my sister being sick. So we had had my other sister been through a load of troubles. And then I'd come out, I was gay. My sister then found out she was sick, went through the process of 5 years of treatment. And I felt like we went through 10 years of just being under a cloud. Well, and my mum had lost, like, we'd lost my nan at the beginning of that 10 years. So it was like, wasn't it, mum? It was just like, as if everything come year after year after year. And then when this all come to an end, it was almost like we were able to start to live. Does that make sense? But we'd grew up, like, we'd always been told, get a job, be employed, be steady, like, not to over, like, and this isn't my mum's fault, this is just what you're taught back years ago. So for us to then see my mum breaking the mould and going, right, go out and do what you want, achieve what you want. And it kind of had a knock-on effect on everyone, I think, to remove your own limitations from yourself, because that's all they are.
Yeah, it kind of gives you permission to do it, doesn't it? It gives you permission then to do the same, doesn't it?
And don't get me wrong, it's like the most horrific, and it's how many years now, 13 years, is it, Mum, later? But without that happening, I would never be doing the job I'm doing now. we'd probably never have the relationship we've got now. We'd never, do you know what I mean? It's
not that you wish it happened. You're like, oh, I'm so glad it happened. It's like, actually, from a really tough, difficult, dark days, these things have come out of it. We wish they hadn't have happened that way. And we'd have done these things anyway. But because it has happened, it's made us appreciate our own
life. Of course,
life.
Yeah. And you do only live once, and you've got to go. And you've just got to make the most of it while you can and while you're able to. And that's the biggest thing that we've took from it. And it's a blessing that we've been able to make these experiences and do stuff and just live your life in a way that makes you happy around, like in people around you. So
it takes incredible strength, because when you're in that situation, it's so easy to fall into the darkness, isn't it? And the strength that your family sounds like such a close-knit family. You all clearly pull each other out of the darkness, and that is just unbelievable.
It's called sugar. Sugar toast.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all just high.
Sugar on toast.
So I lost my dad to cancer.
Oh, sorry.
And I lost my auntie to cancer, and then I'm actually 3.5 years in remission from
cancer. Wow.
Yeah, when I hear about your daughter, like, first of all, I'm so sorry, because there's just sometimes nothing, there's no rhyme or reason for it happening, and there's no rhyme or reason for me to be here now and your daughter not to be. And I go through a lot of survivor's guilt, because I feel like, why am I here? And then I lost my cousin before Christmas to cancer, and I battle with that a lot. And then listening to you, Jan, and saying, but you do have a choice, and actually, like, not living my life is not honouring their lives. It isn't honouring their lives. You've got to live your life. And
you have.
These big things happen, these big moments happen, and sometimes that's an illness or a death or a breakup. On the other side, these big moments are weddings, giving birth, a new job, a new relationship.
Absolutely.
And actually, it's what happens in those moments in between, and that's where your life happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can't control these big things or prevent them, but we can control the life that we lead in between these big moments.
It's like, I think to myself, well, the greatest gift that I realised was how many wonderful friends and how fabulous my family is going through that. So that's a blessing that I would never have known. So I have got the best friends. I've got the best family. That doesn't mean to say we're all sugar toast with each other. We're not. We argue, we fight. We all the murder, there isn't really. But what I've also done is, you don't realise you're just living your life. But my sister, my friend, my cousin, we do all things now that we would never. So going out walking and having, just benefiting from being out in the countryside, or, just doing, they actually go, all right, God, slow down, what's next? You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be big things, but they're saying through this, they've changed and their lives have altered as well. So it's sort of, I think if you try and sort of your positivity, it does actually affect others.
Mm, yeah,
that's and if you're doing stuff, people, this is my view on life. We're here on this earth until our purpose, till we've learned what we need to learn, or our purpose has been fulfilled. And once it's been fulfilled, why we're here, it's our turn to move on. Whether that's, your first breath and you don't make it, or you live to be 120, whatever it is, your purpose on life hasn't been filled until it's time to go. Case sera, sera.
Do you know what else I love about that, Jan? It doesn't have to be big things. I think people think that they've got to go and move a mountain to have some. And that's just putting so much pressure on yourself. And it's not, it's the little things in life that I think can bring complete happiness and bring some sort of peace. And I fully agree. We don't all have to be this incredibly over the top successful in whatever we do. It's the small things that make the difference.
Yeah.
Love that.
We're human beings, not human doings.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Oh God, I feel a bit embarrassed now.
Ah! when I say that about success, that Richie, you've just blown up in lockdown. We also need to hear about.
We need an indulgence of external success as well, don't we?
It's just been luck, really, hasn't it, Mum? It's just...
No way, I don't believe in that.
No, do you know what? I have been dead lucky. I can't, like, blow it up and be like, I've got out, and it just happened by chance.
With a lot of hard work as well. Come on.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I don't think people realise, especially I can see, Richie, we've never met you in person, but you've got such a bubbly and attractive personality that people want to know more of you. And so it feels like, oh, it just happened. But it's probably a build-up of then getting to that point. But you were ready. You were ready to take it on board because of everything you've done before that.
Yeah, I do feel like... I've always knew I was, like, me mum, a carer, helping people. I was born to help people feel good or improve their lives. I know that was always what I wanted to do for work, and this has just given me a platform. I was already doing it, just on a bigger platform now. And as shit as Corona was, like, without Corona, I'd never be able to have gone online and created this platform that I have now, so... Thank God for Corona in one sense for me and my business on a selfish point.
So what happened? Take us from the beginning, Richie. Lockdown happened, and then what happened to your business?
It's literally 2 years ago we're recording this. I think it was yesterday. I'd done a post on Instagram, and I was like, so Boris Johnson said, we're going into lockdown. And I was like, and initially I was just thinking for the people who I train with. And I was like, I'm going to keep doing classes, but I'll put them on Instagram so you can do them live. We've locked in, no gyms to go to. So on the Monday, well, first of all, I was with my fella Connor, and I was like, right, we've got to do this class. And he was going, and he was doing his masters at the time, and he was going,
oh, wow.
I can't do this every day. Are you messing me up, mate? And I was going, you need to help me. So we had a big, in the end, he never, because he had loads on, and it was the best thing ever, because it forced me to come out my comfort zone and do it. And then within a week, it was my clients were doing it. People started posting on Instagram saying, oh, I'm doing Richie's workout. And then next minute, it was like just the most bizarre, wasn't it? It was like I had Meg Matthews from London start following me and going, I'm doing your class. And I was going, how the fuck does Meg Matthews even know who I am? And then within a couple of months, I had like all the London elite. I had Baby Spice, Tamsin Alfwaite, Kate Thornton, Alexandra Burke. Like, there was literally just... I was going, how the hell has this happened? But this is weird to say, it's a little bit fluky as well, because I'm already got mates with Heidi, who's in Sugar Babes. And it was through her posting it, and then her mates posting it. So it's not like it just happened. I had somebody there who connected the dots, and it's that 3 degrees of separation, isn't it?
Yeah, you've still got to follow it through, because it's all right, you get that call to action, but you've still got to, like, come with the goods and be able to do it and show up.
And that's it, and I've been lucky where I go, it's 2 years now, and you always get people who tell you how you should be doing something, don't you? Like, and this is where I've had to really learn that I've got to go with my gut, because I had loads of people and I felt like I had loads of expectation to be getting a website out there to start making a business of it, and I was like... And I just took me time to create a platform that I thought would be, that has helped people, like my mum was saying, understand how to lose weight, keep the weight off, get fit, enjoy it, that you can have fun having it in, working out. The importance of just going out, like we were saying, and just going for a walk and getting your steps in. And I've managed to touch wood 2 years on. I've created a website with all this interaction on it that's actually fucking brilliant, I think. Excuse the language.
Brilliant.
But I felt like I just went off on a tangent then, but I just feel like I've been dead blessed. And I was always busy in Liverpool, but this has just took me outside of Liverpool now, where I've got people in, it was like Hong Kong, California, loads of girls in Dublin. It's just literally gone like across the globe. But I was like, how the hell did it get that far?
Do you think you would ever have had the imagination to do that? No. If lockdown wouldn't have forced you to do it.
Would
it's
I
crazy,
hell,
isn't it?
Wait there. So even just logging on an iPad, to me, I can't believe I work online with technology, because that is not me. I'm a technophobe. Oh, sorry, my phone's just talking to me. I'm a bit of a
technophobe. You haven't got that on here, right, same mate.
And then my watch started talking. I'll take my watch off. Yeah, I'm just, like, I would never have dreamt of going online, for one, because it just didn't interest me, like, anything technology-wise. Didn't, and I've been really lucky that I've been surrounded by a lot of people who, if they don't know, they can point me in the direction of someone who can help me create this. And working with just a really great web developer who's been able to take what's inside my head and articulate it onto the computer. Oh, do you know what I mean?
God, yeah.
Which is that, massive.
That's a difficulty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't realise something, because I'm going, well, I just wanted this on this. And he's like, but it's not as easy as that. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, but that's what I want.
Like, make it up. Yeah. Just do it.
But you don't realise. It's so difficult, no, isn't it? You just go,
it's
what?
So difficult, yeah.
Can I just bust in a minute? Because before we come online, I was actually thinking about this. And thinking about how sort of look, just where at now. But I do think, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, because it goes against, it's like about, you feel like you're blowing your own trumpet or bragging, and it's not about that. But I don't say, I think, yeah, there's some luck come into you, the success. But I also think we have been sort of, I don't know if it's we've been blessed with it or what, I think our warmth draws people to us. Like, you know, it sounds a bit mad to say, like, more like a moth to a flame than sort of someone to round a nice warm campfire. But I do think that personality of, you know, being open and human and all that, I think people buy into you for that.
It's almost like law of attraction, isn't it? And that when you give out that vibes, you get a lot more back, as if you just shut yourself down with negativity, you just create more negativity.
I just don't think that's in our mould. Like, don't get me wrong, everyone experiences negative thoughts, or but I do think we're genetically, somewhere along the line, we're just from maybe a half full kind of glass. And we've always been like you say, your mum was, my mum is. Like, it's just, I think you see people around you growing up and how they deal with what's perceived as a stressful situation. And you've seen people go through horrific times and still being able to laugh, make memories, and you go, and that's what, isn't it? We're all going to go through them. We're all going to, like, you can't escape life. That's just, and it's how you choose to deal with it.
We all need that reminder as well, don't we, of that? So our minds are like negatively biased. So a negative thought to keep us safe will just go straight into our minds. Whereas a positive one, it takes a few seconds to sink in. So we have to take that extra effort to absorb the positivity. So actually, you are giving that information out to people for that light of balance of like, yeah, sometimes life is hard. But also, on the other side, just remember that it can also be light and happy and joyful. And it's like we have to take that extra little bit of effort to remind ourselves of this, don't we? And I think that's your gift as well.
And I think for me, it's about if you get joy from others doing well and others' successes, that shows as well to the importance, because people see that you are genuinely pleased and thrilled for them, you know.
It's infectious, isn't it?
Yeah.
We should champion people doing well, because then when we do well, you want them to champion you back, because we all run a different race and we all, good things happen to us at different times, and we should be pleased for people when it's their moment and be surround ourselves with people that are pleased for us when it's our moment.
Oh God, 100%, isn't it?
And it's like you said before, it can be the simple things. It can be like one person might be celebrating that they walked around the block today. Another person might be celebrating they walked a mountain.
But it's all relative to what where they are in their life, isn't it? So
yeah. Oh, I already feel more positive today and happy and joyful.
What have I got here? See, look, me top. The Optimist Society.
Oh, I love
the Optimist
that.
Society.
She needs a range out of positive vibes.
She needs a case of our books and a T-shirt.
Without a doubt.
Mitch.
Honestly, my face is aching. I've not stopped smiling since you've come on. You just, such an inspirational pair, and just having that family unit of how you think and how you face situations is so inspiring. I love it. How have you found it on our aunt today? How have you found talking to us?
Oh, you're asking.
Whoever gets it first.
I found it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it because, again, when he said, and I went, oh, and I said, oh, yeah, oh, go on then. So really, actually, this is like one of my things towards my 70th, saying my 70th
year. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? So thank you, girlies. Honestly,
you for coming on. That it's was been just, an absolute pleasure. And Richie, to go to your story as well, it's like, it's so inspirational to see when something feels like it's a dead end and you can't get anywhere, that actually from the outside, it might just be the beginning of something that's going to be even more incredible than you could ever have imagined.
Honestly, you just, like, I do actually pinch myself every day and just go out the hell. And do you know what? You just got to run with it, haven't you? And go, fingers crossed, and whatever will be, will be.
Hey, sirrah, sirrah.
And my husband always says, make hay while the sun shines. And yeah, it's about taking those opportunities and just going with it, isn't it?
Did he take it literally though, go and get in a farm?
Yeah, we live on a farm, so we actually do go make hay when the sun shines.
You actually live in a farm?
Yeah.
So wait there, are you actually, do you farm?
Yeah.
Like, you're out in your wellies, like.
Yeah. We've got a load of lambs being born as we speak, and I'm pregnant, so I'm not allowed to go near them. So I'm just, you know, I'm like, go and get the hot water, go and get the hay, I get all the Joey jobs.
Why can't you go buy a lamb if you're pregnant?
So pregnant sheep and lambs can carry all sorts of viruses that can be dangerous for pregnant women. So you've got to stay away from them. So I thought, brilliant, I'll get to put my feet up. Oh no, I'm absolutely Yeah. I'm running up and down, making cups of tea. Maybe a cup of tea, maybe that. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be resting.
Twins, Jan, it's twins.
No.
Hey, can I just tell you something now? I know it's twins.
Oh.
Because I was in the audience when What Is a Hot Spot Not?
What's this?
I was!
I don't know what you're talking about.
Me and my husband did a game show, Strike It Lucky, with Alan Carr.
Strike It Lucky, it was, it was great, wasn't it?
Hilarious.
Oh my, so Mum, you've seen Liz before? That's hysterical.
I see it every week on the bloody telly. I love it. The farm. Oh, I love it.
I love it.
That's brilliant.
Jan, I'm gonna send you my number. We can keep in touch.
Oh, do you know what, Liz? I'd love that. And me and we've got like our little amigo group friends, and we get on great. And we'll all come and do a little, come and see your farm.
Oh,
Jan and Co at the farm, I'd love that.
yeah 100%.
That can be one of your 40 at 40. That's gonna be, this will be one of them.
Hey Mum, she's got a job for you, mucking out the stables. Yeah. Cleaning the wellies.
Well, that's all right. I'll take me out here to me.
Oh, Jan, you're brilliant. I'm totally up for that. And Richie, when I'm not pregnant, we'll do a workout. I'll be all over it.
I was going to say, I won't be mucking out no stable. I'm allergic to everything. I'm like allergy boy.
Oh, guys, you have been amazing today. Thank you so much for coming on. You're absolutely world-class. You're hilarious. Yeah. I feel like I need a face. Thank like, I'm so wrinkly now. I'm laughing.
Hey, I might have done with one of them.
Hey, watch it in Turkey. Buy one, get one free in Turkey. You look amazing.
My dad did actually say yesterday they were talking about a bum, and he was like, well, I wouldn't be surprised if she come back with one of them as well. A Brazilian butt lift and turkey.
Oh, God. So, Richie, before we go, can you tell the listeners a bit more about your fitness, where we can find you and how we can get involved?
It's called Sort Your Fit Out. It's a bit of a play on words. Sort your shit out.
Oh.
So it's sortyourfitout.com, and basically it's like a whole health club on one platform. So you get your online classes where they're all live at the time, but then they're saved if you want to catch up for another time that suits you. And then it's like, again, bringing the Slimmer's World element into it, but helping you understand how to lose weight through knowing what calories your body works off. And then there's loads of interactive stuff on there. So we have challenges for who's got the most steps in a week with the top 20 leaderboard. The same with the weight loss. And it's just, there's just so much about it that I could go on all day, but just go online and have a look. Sortyourfitout.com.
Sort your fit out. And is that Instagram as well?
So, no, the classes are on Instagram, but that's a members only page. So it'd be through my page, richie.swan. And then, and that's where all the information gets put through onto there.
I'm going to be all over it soon.
I hope so.
Johnny, you on Instagram?
Yeah.
What are you?
I can't remember. What am I? Hey, listen, on TikTok, I've got me bareless. How would you bareless?
Right. Oh, my God. Someone get the hook. Get it off.
I think on TikTok my bareless name is Trick du Jour, Trick of the Day. But I think I don't know if I'm on Instagram.
Hey, Janet Swan, I'm sure they'll find you. Just leave Trick du Jour alone.
Oh, you've really cheered us up today. This has been amazing. Thank you.
Oh, I've had a lovely time.
Yeah, me too.
This is like a proper northern cuppa, this one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The proper happy Monday.
Helen, what's your background before, like, the podcast? I'm just being nosy myself now.
No, that's all right. So I'm an actress, writer and self-discovery coach.
Oh, bloody hell.
Since I had cancer, I started, like, looking into like how my mind works and stuff, and like, because I really got into a point where I started suffering a lot, so I started doing a course which was based on like Carl Jung psychology and Eastern philosophy, and that really helped me understand how our minds work, how we have this negative bias, how the external world reflects our mind and stuff. So I do self-discovery coaching as well now.
And do you feel like that's helped you, like, with your journey of what you've gone through?
Oh, definitely. And my journey myself is like still ongoing. So it's like, it's not that I've been like, oh, I found my purpose in life and that's it. It's like I'm forever discovering new things about myself and going a little bit deeper. And it does become more of like a spiritual kind of journey rather than this external like, oh, look how successful I am. It's just like I feel homely and I feel like more content in my life and more peaceful and more joyful and stuff. So, yeah, it has really helped.
And it's 3 years remission.
3.5 years remission, yeah.
Did they say what the success rate was? Have you got like a really, like, where it's, I don't mean to pry, but...
No, please ask questions. No.
Like, is it a high success rate with the cancer that you had, or...?
When I was diagnosed, it was either one of two, and they weren't sure. And one of them is very curable. The other one isn't. So we kind of went with our mindset of saying, let's just say it's this one. It was like 99% sure. So let's just go with that, because especially your kind of mindset helps get you through the treatment and stuff. Yeah. So mine was a really aggressive cancer. So I was stage 4 when I was diagnosed.
Wow.
What was it, if you don't mind me asking, Helen?
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So they actually, when I first was diagnosed, they actually said, I had no idea. And I just thought that I was like, had a virus or something, or, you know, just some kind of illness. But they actually took my bone marrow biopsy and said, oh, we've ruled out leukemia. And I was like, hold on, what? I was in the gym a few weeks ago. What are you talking about? Like, it comes, you're never prepared for having those words said to you, are you? So it was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was stage 4. But because it was really aggressive, it meant that the chemotherapy reacted really quickly. So within 3 rounds, it had completely gone.
See, that was the mad thing about our Anita was, even though she was sick for 5 years, we never knew it was incurable. Like, right. we'd never asked the question, had we? So when it come to it, we were like, maybe if we had been a bit more, like, asked a bit more about it, we'd been a bit more prepared, but... It's mad, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't want to know I wouldn't have wanted to know.
No, because you just don't live the life the same, do you? It's funny, isn't it? Because I've found out that when I was diagnosed, I just started treatment straight away. I started 3 hours after being diagnosed. And it wasn't till I knew it, I'd started getting better and it was working, that then I said, what stage is it? And they said, oh, it was stage four. But I don't think I could have, if I knew it was stage four, I don't know whether mentally I could have got through it. Because I would have felt like it was too hard a mountain to climb than actually not knowing, getting through it, and then being like, oh, fuck.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I find it really cruel in terms of the one that I had just so happened to be curable, and then somebody next to me gets this one that's a bit more difficult to treat. And there's absolutely nothing different that we did.
No.
You know, there was no difference in me or the person next to me. And it just so, and that is the cruelty of cancer, I find, of it just going like that.
But on this podcast, it's just we've got getting through sickness, we've got someone about to create a life, we've got people rediscovering their lives through lots of life. It's just like, it's just being amazing that you can see we've had every element and every back, like, side to it. So
And that's what, you know, we created this. It all started from me sharing my story, but actually it was the point of, like, even if someone wasn't going through the same thing, it was hearing that somebody else's life isn't perfect and that behind closed doors they're going through something and that we're not alone in this. It feels like when you're going through the dark times, it feels like you're the only person going through it. And when you hear somebody else, you think, oh, I am not alone in this. And that's why we wanted to create this, to be like, look, other people going through stuff.
Do you know what, right? When I started working in gyms, it was in the sales office. And I'd just not long come out. So I think I was a bit of a victim mentality in my early 20s, or it definitely was. And it changed my life, like you say, because I'd spend every day trying to find out, like trying to get into people's mindset to get them to join the gym. And people just open up, and I'd spend every day going, I am not actually losing the plot. Everyone is in this, like, and it changed my life because I was like, everyone just thinks the same as me. But you don't realise that until you put yourself in a position to talk to people about it honestly and openly.
Yeah, you feel like you're the weird one, don't you, that needs to hide away and be in shame.
Yeah, well, and I think everyone thinks like that because you're not allowed to talk about it, or you feel like you're not allowed to talk about it.
Exactly. And that's what I feel like. I feel like having open and honest conversations slices through this paradigm that we're all separate and that we have this illusion of who we are. And it slices through that. And actually with a lot of humour, because when you hear somebody else going through it, it's funny because you're like, oh, my God, I've been trying to hide that of myself. And actually someone else is going through it and trying to hide it. And you're like, why are we hiding it? This is who we are. This is our uniqueness of actually who we are. The world wants to see more of that.
We've become a culture of where everything's perfect on social media, and it's not. We all know it's not. I most certainly don't want to ever just portray that. And you just want to hear real people. You want to hear what they're doing, don't you?
Yeah, 100%.
The human behind it all, yeah. And we all have flaws. We all fail. We all get lost in life, but we get back up.
Oh, God, I think we've been lost, failed more than you'll ever succeed. But But you know what? You don't give up, do you? You just keep trying.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to wish I'd lost him years ago.
What was that?
I used to wish I'd lost you years ago.
You'd lost what?
I used to wish I'd lost you years of frigging ago.
I was like, surely she didn't say that.
And I was like,
no, she never said that. And then you said that. I'm like, yes, she did say that.
It was a nightmare. Oh, I hated them.
And this is what happens when your sister passes away and you move so
just wipes the slate clean. I mean, this is a conversation that just keeps giving.
No, do you know what it is? I think because we have the same, not opinion, reactions, and neither of us are wrong, and if we think we're right, we'll fight till the death. Anyway, before we have murder, I'm going.
Thank you so much, Richie. This has been brilliant.
It's been amazing. And Jan, fantastic. I can't wait listen to more. Richie, have you got more podcasts coming out?
Not at the minute. So nothing planned.
We've just got to stalk you on Instagram for now.
Hey, just do you know what I've started doing now? There's no Sex in the City. I've just gone right back to the very beginning and started watching Sex in the City from episode one, day one.
I love that.
It's the best thing I've ever done. No, do you know what, right? You watch that much that's stressful before bed. I'd be going to bed, like, waking up, anxiety ridden. I went, I just need easy watching stuff before I go to bed. Sex in the City, Friends and Gladiators from the 90s are the best things. And the podcast A Girl and a Gay in the Gym, you need to listen to that as well. Shit, I forgot about that.
I'm halfway through it. I'm loving it.
Thanks.
Brilliant. And Jan, I suppose we're going to get, I think we should have your podcast Slaying In for 70.
100%.
I think it's going to be inspirational.
Slaying 70. You know, I'm embracing aging. I'm not getting old. I'm aging. I'm not gracefully.
You're living. Gracefully. Not even aging. You're just living.
Living, yeah. It's a privilege to get older, isn't it?
It bloody is. It is. It absolutely is.
Thank you so much, Jan. Thanks, Richie.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks, Helen.
Thank you, everyone.
So good. So good to see you. See you later.
Thanks for listening to Soul Story Club. We really hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so it will automatically download on your phone when there's a new episode. And don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram at Soul Story Club.